It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly Obvious, it's clear as can.
The Blindly Obvious podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. All views expressed on this show do not constitute professional advice. We make no representation or warranties regarding the accuracy, completeness, or applicability of the content we express. These are merely our opinions, and as such, we encourage everyone to form your own opinions.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff, and today we are talking about Nothing for Christmas. Jeff, you know that Christmas song, right? That I ain't getting nothing for Christmas? Beyond getting nothing for Christmas, possibly, although you might be getting a lump of coal, what are some ways you're going to make Christmas this year maybe different than in years past?
Well, if I borrow from Thanksgiving, I was the only fool outside using coal to smoke meat.
Okay. So all right. So you'll at least put your Christmas gift to good use.
Exactly.
I like that.
I like the charcoal, man. Bring it on. No, I in that same thread, you know what would be a tragedy is if we just let it be another Christmas.
Doesn't it kind of feel a little different this year, though? Like maybe the commercial appeal is kind of wearing off a little bit. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's just the economy's not that good. So
I think it's the economy.
People are just a little stretched and are kind of worried and concerned, like, oh man, I can't fulfill getting all of these gifts I normally got in the past, and which I'm guilty of myself, but haven't we all kind of been making Christmas about the wrong things anyway?
You nailed it with the anxiety. They say it's the norm. Most people borrow money they don't have to buy gifts they can't afford, to give people stuff they don't need. Every year we do this.
100%.
And then we have the trap for the next few months trying to pay off those bills, and some never do.
And then it just rolls over.
When you stack on top of that the uncertainty of the economy with jobs, all these things, people are like, well, what if I don't have a job and I can't pay it off and I lose my own stuff? I lose my house, my car, whatever. And so, yeah, the cool part about this, it's forcing our hand to reevaluate what really matters.
Man, isn't that kind of just backwards in thinking, the what you just described? But we do it. And to think none of us really need anything. But beyond that, that we've allowed culture and consumerism to convince us that, hey man, the only way to show somebody that you really love them is to buy them an expensive gift.
They don't need.
That they don't actually really need.
They may even return it.
And the only way that you're really going to feel loved is if somebody gets you an expensive gift that you don't actually really need. What's cool, though, is obviously the most growth and whatnot happens through, I guess we could call pain, right? And disappointment in a way. So maybe this is what's happening here, is that it's giving us an opportunity, although it may be a little painful to separate from, but to reevaluate and get ourselves back headed in a different direction, to where, you know, we say, hey, you know, I did a little self-evaluation, a little reflecting, and realized I just can't do that. And not only that, but somebody else doesn't need to do that for me.
Instead of buying gifts this year, why not, I don't know, buy a couple steaks and a lobster and crab legs and whatever, and everyone sits down, everyone takes part in the prep, not just one or two people cooking in the kitchen, but everyone's doing something. You're not hustling and bustling, but everyone's laughing, telling stories, and you're creating an experience.
All right.
The gift you're giving is this shared moment together that you're also going to sit down, not for 10 minutes, everyone fill up and leave, but sit down and have a few courses, man.
That's like anti-modern culture, isn't it?
It is.
Slow down. Don't just eat and run.
I think that the shallowness.
That's a good word for it.
It is. That we've kind of, this rut we've gotten into has run its course. Mm. And everyone's going, I want something more, but they don't know what the more is. But I'll tell you this, it's not more of the same.
What if the more was the greatest present or gift that we've already been given over 2,000 years ago?
Right, right.
What about that? What if we latched on to that idea and remembered the true meaning of what this season is all about in the first place.
You mean something that we can all come around, we can agree, hey man, that was beautiful, thank you, and show gratitude and appreciation.
And remember the birth of the Savior that we were given, which is, like I said, the greatest gift that will ever be given.
Man, this Christmas, I don't want nothing but Jesus.
You know, I think a lot of people probably aren't in that space yet to be able to say that. But I think the further you head in that direction, the more you realize that that really is the only thing you need. The other things are just a bunch of stuff that you want.
Mm-hmm. And what would be cool if you can get to the place where he becomes all you want. Right? That's the hardest part is, but there's just, again, there's so much in our culture that shallowness calls to us.
Mm-hmm. It does. It really does.
That momentary high and feel good.
I think a lot of us are probably seeking that magical nostalgia of when we were children. Like, you know, when you say the magic of Christmas or the, there's so many bright, pretty lights and cool decorations and there's presents under the tree. And then some people do the Santa thing. Some people don't. We started leaning out of that thing. Decided, you know what? We probably should tell the truth. Well, I came across this TikTok, and this guy said, what y'all gonna do when your kids find out that Santa isn't real and they realize that you lied to them and they ask, or they think to themselves, I wonder what else mom and dad lied to me about. And I said, oof, that's tough. And I had to evaluate, you know, kind of do a little reflecting there and think, if I expect my kids not to lie to me, how is it justifiable for me to lie to them?
Well, I can tell you that we did this with our kids, and we never did Santa or the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy. They're not scarred.
Oh, they're still making it?
Yeah, they're okay.
They are?
In fact, they have made it very clear that when they have kids, they're not going to lie to their kids either.
Mm.
Yeah, because this guy's not wrong. It was, for me, this was part of my reason for why I didn't do it was I felt like it was destructive, because I remember when I found out myself as a child, I was so heartbroken that my parents lied to me.
I was mad. I don't know if I've ever told you this story or not, but my parents went as far as one time hiring this dude to dress up as Santa Claus. I mean, he was like a family friend, but
right.
Wasn't just some random person off the street.
Some clown.
Yeah. But hired this dude to come into the house at, like, I don't know, it's probably like 10, 11 o'clock at night. Just went to bed, so I was still awake. And all of a sudden, I hear some jingle bells. We're creeping down the hall. I'm probably like 5, 6 years old. And it's the three of us. And we're looking at it. And they're, look, there's Santa over there. And he's ho, ho, hoing. And he's building me this toy right in my kitchen, dude. This wooden toy barn. And I'm like, dude, this was so awesome. I actually got to catch Santa live and in action. How cool was that? And I mean, what a high, right?
Yeah.
But then to the other side, finding out that he's not real, what a low.
Yeah, because all those memories and things that you thought were so special were just nothing.
And I just then, this might be some trauma for me of like, I don't trust people that well.
Yeah.
But like ever since then, I've had a hard time trusting, like, hey man.
Anybody.
Yeah, I heard you say it, but what else you got? Let's see. Let's see if it's really okay. What you say it is.
Just what you just said is that, I said it Sunday, many people believe in Jesus, but they don't believe Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll believe him and they'll trust him like fire insurance for their salvation.
Right. Like, I mean, just in case things get really bad, don't forget Jesus. I still got the full term policy.
Right. But when it comes to living as he taught, and trusting that he'll reward that either now or later, especially if it comes to later, there's a reason why most people don't actually obey him. Is because they don't believe him.
Mm. And think about a good biblical story of that. So when Isaac is married, him and his wife are waiting, and his wife is barren for 20 years. And they're just waiting and praying, and they never lose faith it's going to happen. Kind of like what you just described of the... Hey, you still going to follow God when the thing you're hoping for or expecting or the blessing you want to receive is coming more on the side of later than it is now? And these people did. They just kept believing and having faith for 20 years. And in our culture, it's hard for us to wait 20 minutes.
Right. A week, a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Noah waited 100 years for the flood to come.
As he's being mocked and ridiculed, right, and like, oh, dude, you're an idiot. What are you mm-hmm. doing? Look at all the fun everybody's having out here. And you're going to waste your time building a giant boat for nothing.
There's the old man that thinks that God talked to him.
Blah. Yeah, look at this idiot.
Yeah. Yep.
And then all of a sudden, and in the snap of a finger, he wasn't.
I forget how many days it was before the flood came. God put them on the ark. So get on the ark, and God closed the door. So they're sitting there waiting for the flood to come still. Days before it ever happened.
Sealed in.
And then
a bunch of animals.
Yeah.
A few people.
Can you imagine the mocking that happened then?
Well, at least then you'd be tuned out to it, right? You're not going to hear it. You're sealed in. But imagine even being on the boat, the other people who were there, the rest of the family, kind of looking at him like,
Noah,
dude, what did you get us into?
What the
We're
heck?
Just as crazy as you are now.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably going, okay, I can throw a rope over the side and I can get down and sneak off at night and go have a good time.
Yeah. I'll sneak back on the boat by morning and nobody will know I was ever gone.
Nothing for Christmas, man. Would you trust God that he's all you need?
Mm. You know, I think as you just described, a lot of people would say yes to that, would say, yes, I do trust God. But the but is in the, I think truly, the difficulty of actually walking or living that out is much more difficult than a yes.
Okay, well, right now, if you were to do that, your automatic fear is, I can do that, but I'm afraid my family won't. And they're going to be mad because I said, oh, Jesus is all we get for Christmas.
Yeah.
There's nothing else.
How's that?
They're
going to
be really upset.
That's right.
Because they want that shallow stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, even, I think it's unfair for me to even say that I myself would be perfect for that and to not be like, oh, I wouldn't get at all upset if I literally got nothing for Christmas.
That's why I like the borrowed idea I got from you is experience. Do the shared experience. Everyone's assigned a job. Okay, you're doing the bread. Okay, you're making the pasta. I'll do the lobster. I'll do the steak. You know, everyone's got a thing. I'll cook the giraffe. Whatever it is, right? Whatever your thing is, crab legs. You know, whatever it is, scallops. You know,
look at you bringing the Florida influence. Yeah,
like
here.
That, man. Yeah, but no, everyone snapper grouper. But everyone has their piece. The kids make the dessert. Whatever it is, but everyone's got a part. Listen to all the family talking and sharing and stories, the positive interaction of generations. Your kids are going to remember that, dude. Forget about Santa. Forget about the gifts, getting things they don't need. I mean, how many gifts that you received, you'd say, that changed my life. But how many conversations can you say you've had?
I can only tell you one gift that I even remember getting. And the only reason I remember it is because it's on video, and it's this, this is actually pretty funny. It's this big box I open. I'm probably like roughly Annie's age, so about 4 years old. And I tear open this box and I go, look, Dad, it's a pizza oven just like yours. And it was a Hot Wheels track.
You lied to yourself. No, but aren't there many conversations, the nostalgia you're talking about? It was the experience. There was an experience happening. That's what you're remembering, and you're also reminiscing and wanting for your own kids to have, but it wasn't over a gift.
You know what's also really unfortunate is I remember that experience of encountering Santa Claus, and I remember how awesome it made me feel in the moment. Like I can think back to that and remember the like awe and wonder that I was like, wow, this is crazy. No one's gonna believe this. I actually caught Santa. And now as I look back on that now, I'm like, I'm in this divide of, it was all a lie. Now a white lie maybe, but it was all a lie. But then I also can't take away of how that lie made me feel. And I think of, in some ways, we kind of like to be lied to.
Well, here's the even more crazy part. The truth does the same thing, only it doesn't go away.
Mm. So you're saying the sugar rush doesn't necessarily wear off.
Well, it's not a sugar rush. It's an actual, if you will, like the steak and the lobster. It's actually something that your body needs and can use. Proper, good, balanced protein and fats. And it's good for you. Truth is good for you. The lie is the toxic sugar stuff.
Sure. So although the high from the truth may not be as immediate, it's going to be much longer lasting and actually stick with you versus an intense kaboom that eventually fades away.
Well, go back to your own experience. The nostalgia you look back on isn't, man, I just missed that lie. That lie was so great. Remember that lie? I can't wait to share it with somebody else.
Yeah, no, the thing I missed was the immediate feeling of wonder and joy.
Sure. But haven't there been things of truth that created the very same thing but never went away?
Oh, sure. Getting married, yeah. Birth of my children. Yeah. Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Coming to Christ. Yeah, it's like again, this shallow culture we've created around Christmas and other holidays. We have gotten so far outside of not only what it really is about, but what it should be about. And we were allowing our culture to dictate and even convince us to participate in a shallow lie. And then we wonder why we're literally and emotionally and spiritually bankrupt.
Right. Like we are shallow and we wonder why we're shallow after participating in nothing but being shallow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And hello, how about we just get off that train?
Obvious, it's a blindly obvious answer, but I also think...
So hard to break that rhythm.
Right.
So hard to break.
Much easier said than done.
I would love for people to, maybe if they'll post on Facebook, man, share this year how you did nothing but Jesus for Christmas and what happened.
Oh, wow, look at you. That's got to be disappointing.
Yeah. Well, that's what I heard parents say to me. I cannot believe you don't do sand at your house. You're poor children. And so I'd look over to Joshua and Caleb in that moment and go, hey, guys, do you feel like you're missing out because there's no Santa? And they're like, no.
No.
In fact, they were the ones ruining it for all the other kids in their class saying, there is no Santa, guys. It's your parents.
I think that's changing, though. I think a lot of people, more so my age, are starting to go more towards your direction on that. And cutting that out. And we have two good friends that they never really did that either. And when I was telling Brittany about, hey, you know, I think we need to do this. I feel like Ivy only about 10% believes anyways. She's pretty inquisitive and like smart. And she'll be like, well, how could this man be at everybody's house in one day and drop these gifts off? And why do some people end up with more gifts than others, and some people get no gifts at all if Santa's just somebody who delivers gifts to everybody? Mm-hmm. I said, oh, great questions. Mm-hmm. Great questions. But our good friends, they never did it. And I go, you know, you look at them and they don't seem to be struggling in the world. They seem to be okay.
Yeah, the kids aren't depressed and haven't had to go to counseling.
I mean, let's be fair. The lie is for
the parents.
The parents.
Yep, yep.
To enjoy that moment of awe and wonder. Like, oh, wow. Look at the light in your child's eyes and how excited they are and they're gleaming. And you just totally disregard the fact that, like, yeah, that's all based upon a lie, though.
Yeah, and you can do the same thing with the truth.
That was really my main concern with this is you get to the point of, actually, we lied about that. Well, what else did you lie to me about? Was my faith also a lie?
Mm-hmm.
And that was my biggest concern is I don't want you to think the relationship you have with our Creator is anything of the sort to the relationship you have with a magic man in a hat and a beard that brings presents to people. So if you're thinking that I lied to you about this, I don't want you to dare think that I would lie to you about that. And that for me was enough, I suppose, that I wanted you to know that, no, your relationship with the Holy Spirit is real deal. This is more of an imaginative little white lie, fun, magical experience.
I think you got an easy out because you've been a Christian, what, 3-4 years?
Mm-hmm.
Is that you say, hey, look, I'm dad's growing too. Mom's growing too. And as we're growing in the Lord, we're realizing some things.
Absolutely. We got it wrong. Right. This is a teaching experience for you guys, but also a teaching experience for us.
Yeah, guys, you may be shocked, but Dad makes mistakes. Mom That's makes right. mistakes. And this is one we made, and we want to fix, and we want to correct, and we're sorry. I think you'd be amazed that your kids are going to be like, well, that's okay, Dad.
Yeah. No, that's how Ivy was. Yeah. And I go, I told her, she goes, well, why did you want to tell us? And I said, because I expect you not to lie to me, right? And she goes, yeah. I said, well, how would it be fair for me then to lie to you
right.
and think that's justified?
Right.
And she goes, it wouldn't. And I said, exactly. So that's why I'm telling you that I had not told you the truth in the past, and I want to correct the record now.
Yeah. And so I don't know what everybody else's situation is, but I'm sure they got the same pricks, but they're like, how do I fix this? Hey, Mom and Dad make mistakes.
Just be honest.
Yeah. Listen, hey, guys, get this. Christians aren't perfect. We need Jesus every day.
You know, something you told me a long time ago when I first got started in this, and I didn't have the greatest view of church per se. And in some ways, I probably still don't. But one of the main things for me was, man, you got people who come to church every day, not every day, excuse me, every week, and do many of the things that the people in the world do, and would look down on you as though, well, I don't do this thing, so you're terrible. And you said, something that's always stuck with me is you said, well, where would you expect to find sick people? When I said, a hospital. And you said, well, where would you expect to find spiritually sick people? And I said, I guess a church. And you said, there you go. These people aren't perfect. Right. They know they're sick and that they need a physician. And the great physician is Jesus.
Right, right. And the reason why God has called men to preach is because we all, like cars, if you will, need constant alignment and reminders to stay on the path and to drive straight. Because we get off the path real easy.
And I think, though, as I've come along in this journey, it's been much easier for me to be able to see and to understand, hey, man, the people you thought that were that way, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, it's much easier to see how those people are that way now. Because now that person is me.
Right.
Now, at least I hope I try not to be anyways, a judgmental person that says, well, you know, I look down on you because I don't do that anymore and you still do.
Right, right.
But it's in the, hey man, I fall short every day, every single day. But I know once again now that I need that great physician, that healer, that reminder that puts me back on track that says, hey, you're getting it wrong over here in this part of your life. Fix it.
It's like your own raising your own children. You don't have the same expectations for your children when they're 2 or 3 as you would when they're 15.
Sure.
Because they've grown, they've matured. And it's the same thing as we walk in Christ, the expectations, well, we're always changing, but the expectations that God has on us when we're 2 years old in the faith is not the same as when we're 15. As you go, there are things when you're older as a Christian and more mature, you look back and go, those were childish things and I'm done with that. That's not of God. That wasn't the path. That wasn't the way. This is, and I get it now. I didn't then.
And how thankful should we be that we have such a merciful God,
oh my gosh, yeah.
who offers such grace to us in the walk, who isn't looking to destroy us, but yet to nurture us and to grow us and to bring us along closer and closer to him each day.
And well, he's not just God, and that's what he tells us. He's also Dad.
And I guess, as you just described, that's a great way to look at. You don't look and seek to destroy your children. Right. You seek to grow and to nurture them and to bring them along so that as they're ready to go out into the world, they have teaching, wisdom, and experience that's going to lead them to be the best that they can be.
And he made that possible. And so, hey, we love you, Dad, and thank you for Jesus.
Absolutely. And on this Christmas, maybe the best present that you can get, whatever other gifts you may get, but maybe the best present that I hope you'll receive if you don't have it already is a gift we've already been given, and that's salvation. So maybe take that gift, be present with that present, and enjoy Jesus.
Amen.
This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
Past the signs each day, in little things missed along the way, the symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight. The magician's lie, a trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm. Oh, I can see it. The roads lead back to you.